To God be the glory. Thank you, choir. I woke up this morning with my mind still on Jesus. Some went to bed last night. I couldn't make it. Some are on the beds of affliction this morning. Some want to sing, but they cannot sing. But here we are in the presence of God. Indeed, I'm falling in love with Jesus. To God be the glory. Reverend Armstrong, I am so grateful for this opportunity to share this great and historic pulpit. I count it a blessing. And to the members of the Shiloh Baptist Church, I want to thank you for keeping my country in your prayers. It has been tough for Liberia, but God has been in control. We are aware of the Ebola situation in my home country, Liberia, but I'm so glad that God is turning the ashes into beauty. And as I speak, there is absolutely no known case of Ebola in Liberia. I'm just reminded of what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in the single garment of destiny. What affects one directly affects other indirectly. And living is associated with giving. Thanks for your prayers and support. And I believe there are some Liberians in the house today. If you are here, I just want you to stand. We are so grateful. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Some of my members from Providence are also here. I just want you to wave if you are here. They are here to support the pastor. God bless you. God bless you. I stopped by this morning to share with you on the theme, fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. If you have your Bible, I want you to kind of stand with me. And let us look into the Word of God. The book of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 25. We shall commence reading at the 14th voice. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14. Voice 14. "For it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability." I want you to flip over to verse 24. "He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, Reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your tiling in the ground. Kind of pray along with me. O thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, a home in affliction I call. Lord, you have been our comfort by day, sun in the night, hope, salvation, and all. Let the words of my mouth and the collective meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let God's people say amen. Amen. Kindly be seated. Fear of the unknown. The Bible talks about two types of fear. The godly fear and the ungodly fear. The godly fear, it is a fear, Pastor, that we should encourage. Because it's a fear that pushes one to reference God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This fear leads us to understanding, leads us to rest, leads us to peace in all of our steps in the Lord. I don't know about you, but it is because of this godly fear that I am still in ministry. Because I am reminded that I have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. It is this fear that keeps you going and keeps your eyes fixed to the hills from whence cometh your help. It is this fear that keeps you sinking. This fear that keeps us in the presence of the Lord. And there is another type of fear that I will call the ungodly fear. The fear has the ability to impede your progress. It has the ability to stop you from accomplishing the purpose that God has called you to accomplish. On the ungodly or detrimental fear, there are two subcategories. There is what I would call the extent of fear. Fear that we experience on the outside. This fear happens probably as a result of the passing of a loved one. And whenever you hear about death in the family, you are afraid, or it reminds you of what happened in the past. Maybe you have gone through a relationship that was so abusive. And whenever you hear about marriage, you are moved by the fear of the past. There is another fear that we call the internal fear that happens as a result of some traumatic incident that happens on the inside of you. Perhaps the fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear that somebody told you once upon a time that you will amount to nothing. And you still carry that word in your mind that I am nobody. Yes, and that fear stops you from accomplishing the purpose that God has called you to accomplish. I don't know what fear you are faced with today. But the text under consideration talks about the fear of the unknown. It is important to recognize your fear in an effort to arrest the situation and continued your service to God. If you fail to overcome your fear will overcome you. So you need to take on your fear and trust God for the journey of faith. The text before us is the parable that Jesus told. He had just concluded the parable of the 10 virgin. 1 10, 5 wise and 5 foolish. This parable reminds us about our readiness, that the master will come at any time, and we should be ready in service. So when that trumpet is sound, we should be able to say to God, I gladly go with thee. Keep your house in order. And Jesus flipped over and decided to teach the disciples about the talent, the parable about the talents. He said that it's a master who was on his journey. He called unto himself his servants. Give them his talents according to their ability. The text uses the possessive pronoun. His talents. His gifts. To his servants. It reminds me that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings. He has given us talents. He has blessed us with resources. He has blessed us with influence so that we can use all that God has blessed us with. We possess the talents, but God owns everything. So he said to his disciples that this is mine. His talents. We are whose God has called us to be. I don't know what God has blessed you with. A great job. Great influence. Great connection. But you have to use everything that God has blessed you with for the expansion of his kingdom. Pastor Armstrong, whenever God calls, he equips. I sat and listened to your testimony during the revival services. And you said that we are not going to build a new church. We are going to build a new community. And God, every son that we need to erect that structure. And Reverend Armstrong, everything that you need to bring the vision to pass, God has blessed you with this congregation. The money is here. The influence is here. The connection is here. And when we bring our gifts in the house of the Lord, God will use it and multiply it for his kingdom. He gave them his talents. To one, he gave 5. To another, he gave 2. And the other 7, he gave 1. According to his ability. According to his ability. It means that God knows everything about you. He knows about your ups and he knows about your down. He knows about your uprising. And he knows about your down, Satan. God has blessed us according to our ability. What we can handle at the right time to serve God. there are some who have the gifts of preaching, of singing. Some God has blessed them with multiple talents, according to their abilities. We have a young man at church. Probably you met him, that Reverend Armstrong. He's visually impaired, but he plays the drum. Zuba has been around for about 20 years. God has blessed Zuba with that talent, according to his ability. The one that was given the 5 talents, straight away, when God blesses you, you ought to be compassionate about what God has given you. Straight away. I mean, he was in search of an opportunity to release his God's given potential. A prophet, he went to the pastor and said, "Pastor, God has blessed me with this gift. How can I be of service to the church?" Straight away, he went and multiplied the talent. The one who had 2 went and multiplied his talents. He gained an addition of 2. And when they appeared before the master, he said to them, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God is not just looking for good servants. God is looking for good and faithful servants. Reverend, I could be good because of the costumes I'm wearing this morning. I could be good because of my association with the Shiloh Baptist Church. I am good because of the car I ride. I'm good because of my connection. That's wonderful. But God is not just concerned about goodness. God is concerned about faithfulness. Well done, my good and faithful servant. God has called us to faithfulness, not just goodness. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Reverend Armstrong, this is where I like to zero down. The one who had won came and said, "Master, I know you to be a very tough and difficult man. I was afraid, and I went and hid the gift that you have given me." Your gift. He didn't say my gift. He said, "I hid in the ground your gift." So when I learned that you were coming, I ran and dug it out. This is your gift. He said, "I was afraid. The text under consideration did not give us the type of fear. So we are very careful to conclude that this was the fear of the unknown." He did not focus on his fear, but he shifted the blame on his master. Most time we don't look at our inadequacy. We compare ministry by what God is doing in the lives of others. And the master said to him, "Get away from me." Reverend, I wish to identify 3 fears that gripped this young man. Even though the text did not name them, but they are explicit in the text. Warn this man had the fear of comparison. He sat and looked at his master distributing the talents. And he said to himself, I think this is a context. And I'm not prepared for this race. That was fear of comparison. You see, in God's house, there is nothing that comparison. We are in it together. What affects one directly or indirectly affects the others. Whether you have 10 talents, you have 20, there is nothing about comparison. God has called us to be faithful. Second, he had the fear of competition. This man had 5 and this man had 2. I have only 1. And I'm afraid that I don't want to get into competition with these people. The ministry is not about competition. It is not about competition. It's not about looking at others what they are doing. It is not about who's come first or who's next. We are in it together. Paul said, in Christ, there is neither east nor west. There is neither black nor white, Jew or Gentile. We are in it together. There is nothing like competition. When you excel, I excel. Your uprising is my uprising. Your down setting is my down setting. When you are troubled, I'm troubled. When you are forsaken, I'm forsaken. We need to put it together because we are in it together. No competition. It's not about who came first. Who has been around? How long have I been around? The Bible says some came at 12. Other came at 2. Some came at 4. But at the end of the day, God rewarded them according to their faithfulness. You see, this man was not keen to recognize the reward of the 7. The one who brought the 5 talents received the same reward that the one who brought the 2. He said to both of them, well done, my good and faithful servant. Whether you have 2 or 3 or 4, at the end of the journey, God will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. God is not concerned about the manner. That's the faithfulness. And third, Reverend, he was afraid of commitment. He was afraid of commitment. This master said to him, you should have invested. The gift that God has given you is not for your own pleasure. You see, why this master was annoyed was the fact that that young man robbed others of the ability of experiencing the goodness of God. When you hold back what God has blessed you with, it's frankly the ministry incapacitated the church to be a blessing unto others. Somebody needs the gift that you have in order to keep going. Whether it is a word of encouragement, whether it is a song that God has given you to sing, whether it is a microphone to preach, when you use what God has blessed you with, somebody will be blessed. You will build a bridge over troubled water. You will give hope to somebody. Use what God has blessed you with. God needs that work that you are sitting on. It is not inadequate. It is not insignificant. Bring it to the house. Place it in the master's hands. And God will multiply it to feed his people. Fear of commitment. And in essence, this man failed to take the risk for God. And that's the essence of ministry. That's the essence of our faith. Reverend Armstrong, that's the essence of the vision. You need to take risks, believing that God is able. That faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You need to risk your gift knowing that God is able to make a way out of no way. You need to risk your gift believing that he will build bridges over troubled waters. Everyone that God called in the Bible had to risk something. The call of God is not normally embraced with happiness. Sometimes we need to question God. But everyone who had a walk with God risked something. They trusted God with their fears. Joshua, after the death of Moses, trusted God with his fear. And God said, Joshua, do not look left nor right. Meditate on the word dead in and dead out. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And Job had to write his faith. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the earth in the latter days. Even though if this body is swollen up in my flesh, I shall see God. Esther had to wreck something. She said, if I perish, I perish. But I have to meet the king. Habakkuk said, even though the fig tree does not blossom, no grape on the olive, no sheep in the pen, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I'm just a virgin. With God, everything is possible. Trust God with your faith. Jesus, trust God. He took the risks. He was well pleased in heaven, but decided to give up his throne for the tomb, his crown for the cross. He was born unto the Virgin Mary. He grew up in Palestine. At the age of 30, he called upon himself 12 men that shared in his ministry. At the age of 33, he was crucified. He was buried, but that was not the end. Because he trusted God with his fear. Early Sunday morning, he arose with power and might, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Trust God with your fear. I don't know what you are faced with today, but I stop by to remind you that there is still light at the end of the tunnel. As you leave this place today, I want you to go back and dig it up. Bring it and trust God with the fear. And see if God will not open doors for you. Make a way out of no way. Trust. trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and God will direct your path. Trust it. The psalmist said that the Lord is my refuge and strength, the very pressing up in times of trouble. Trust God. Let it go. I don't know what is holding you back. If it is that failed relationship, trust God. If that child is still wayward, trust God. If you are believing God for a relationship, trust God. God is able to do more exceedingly abundantly than all we think, ask, and can imagine. Trust him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Reverend, I'm so glad that God did not call the servant by names. He did not name them by the degrees, what school they went to, how long they've been in the church, their friends. He did not call them by name. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm so glad that God, the master, did not call them by name. Probably if they were called by name, they would have remembered those days when they failed the master. They will remember when they failed to report to the call of duty. But when the name is called servant, you are reminded of the job that you have done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. The gift that God has blessed you with, use it to be a blessing to somebody. And if you can help somebody while you pass this way, your living will not be in vain. Reverend, I've been around for some time now. I don't want heaven to be a strange place for me. No. I don't want heaven to be a strange place for me. When I get up to heaven, I want somebody to walk up to me and say, hello, you may not know me, but I'm here because of your preaching. Because you preach the word of God. And as my life was transformed, I recognize somebody said, thank you for erecting a center that will transform lives and renew community. Choir, somebody should walk up to heaven. I said, thank you because of the songs of Zion that you sang. And because of that song, I am in heaven today. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. My God. My God. My God. And fit for seven. There's a crown of righteousness prepared for you in heaven. God bless you.
My God, everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. Well done, good and faithful servant. Ah, faithful over a few things. Now I want to make you rule over a few more. Somebody needed to hear that word today. Somebody who's been burying their talents needed to go back and dig it up and bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Do what you want to do. Use me, God, in the name of Jesus. Choir's going to sing a song of invitation. And as they do, the doors of the church are open. The invitation to Christian discipleship is given. The invitation to salvation is offered. Is there someone here today? Someone here today. We believe that someone needed to hear this word. Someone needed to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone here? Anyone here today? New life eternally. Is anyone? If you want special prayer, step out into the aisles and one of the deacons or deaconess ministers will pray with you. If you want to join the church, this is your opportunity to join. If you've been away from the fellowship of the gospel of Jesus Christ, look at God today. Look at God today. God bless you, young ladies. Isn't that beautiful? God bless you. Praise God. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God today. Look at God. Come on. Come on, deacons. We have another sister who's joining right now. Is the Lord good? Someone put your hands together and give the Lord the praise offering. Amen. Is there anyone else? Anyone else today? Anyone else today? Want to join the church? Special prayer. Or want to give their life to the Lord Jesus? Anyone here today? Anyone else here today? Look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Oh, come. Won't you bow your heads with me as we pray together? Father, I come right now in the name of Jesus, lifting up these who stand here in this sanctuary. Father, I don't know all that they are in need of, but you know. And I pray right now, God, that you would hear the prayers of the righteous. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to transform lives and break yokes of bondage that is keeping people back and holding them down. And I ask right now in the name of Jesus that if there's someone else here today who needs to step out of their seat, take a step towards you, give us your hand and give us their hand and give you their heart, God. I pray right now that they would do that in the name of Jesus. We thank you for these who have already come down front. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them. And I ask right now, Lord, that everyone here will be reminded that the rest of today is not guaranteed and tomorrow is not promised. Help us to choose you while we have an opportunity to do so, God. And we shall give your name the glory, the praise, and the honor. In the name of Jesus we pray. Let the saints of God say, amen, 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 and amen. He'll give you brand new life.
Life abundantly.
Oh, come.
Oh, come. Come on.
To Christ.